Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. This is the perfect Father's Day message. Of course, last year, about this time, I brought the perfect Father's Day message. I think next year will be the same thing. Anywhere you open the Bible, you're going to have a good message. Amen. But Psalm 103 is really, really special. It's about the mercy of God, about how God is kind to us, long-suffering, patient, merciful. That's so good. And we will begin reading here in verse 8. By the way, again, happy Father's Week, and hope you enjoy the whole week, because it's not just the day, it's the whole week. That's a blessing. Amen. I bought my wife last Mother's Day, I bought her an electric drill to help her around the house, you know, make her chores easier. So she bought me some cooking utensils. So isn't that wonderful? We started off really good. But anyway, Psalm 103, let's begin reading in verse 8. Can you hear me okay? I'll try and keep my volume up a little bit. But the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Every one of these verses is so special. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He's comparing himself to a father, an earthly father. It says, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Father, bless your word today. Thank you that we can call you our Father. Thank you that that makes believers brothers and sisters in Christ and all the blessings we have because of that connection. I pray you'd minister to us, use your word to be an encouragement, and help us as fathers to be what we need to be. In Jesus' name, amen. There's some ideas for a gift for a father. I mean, they have all kinds of places you can go on the website, and you could say, what's a good gift for a father? I did that, and I found some good Father's Day gifts. So if you didn't get all your gifts yet, maybe you could still get your father a gift. What did the puppies make their dad for Father's Day breakfast? Poached eggs. Poached eggs. Pretty good, huh? These are hilarious. Here's another one. What's the best thing a new dad can get for Father's Day? A long nap. Come on, you can laugh a little better than that. Where did the cow family go on Father's Day? Movies. She got it. You know why she got it? She writes my messages. Okay, that's it. What did the panda give his daddy on Father's Day? This is so easy. A bear hug. Oh, okay. Huh? That's good too, Nick. That's good. We've got you getting the credit for that. Father's Day should be a day of celebration, a day of thanksgiving, a day really of appreciation. And as we get into the scriptures, and no home is perfect, so understand that as we begin this. But in Ephesians 6:2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. But what does it mean to honor your father and your mother? We're all sinners. We all have weaknesses. We ride the roller coaster all the time. But to honor your father and mother. To honor means to regard with great respect or high esteem. It also describes honor as something regarded as a rare opportunity, bringing pride and pleasure. It's a privilege. And so both of those definitions go together. In Matthew chapter 6, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so he gives us that model prayer there. In verse 9, it says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And then he says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So this ought to begin our time with the Lord because we respect and reverence him. Remember, reverence is the key to ethics. It's the key to proper behavior. And hallowed means treated as sacred or reverence. We're grateful as we look in the scripture and as we live life for the love and mercy that God shows to us. All the roles that a father has. And then you have in the Bible, he takes over that role as a mother. It says in Isaiah, as a mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. There is nothing like a mother's comfort. Amen? Nothing like it. And a father's care. And so he puts those together. He's closer than a brother. But in our text, it reads, like as a father. So this is Father's Day. And so that will be our emphasis today. In Isaiah chapter 1, the greatest father that ever lived is God the Father. Amen? Or existed, I should say. And he said, I have nourished, speaking about the nation of Israel, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And then he goes and he describes that. But then a little later in the chapter, you see his mercy come out. And he says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, he says, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be white as snow. And he says, just learn to do well. I have nourished and brought up children. They've rebelled against me. And he describes that rebellion, and then we see his mercy. Amen? And mercy is a wonderful thing, and we've read about that in Psalm 103. A good picture of a father is also in Luke chapter 15. This is the father of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son took all of his inheritance, went into a far country, wasted all his substance with riotous living. And he's been gone for so long. And that father is constantly looking for that son to come home, constantly, and he's looking out. And one day he sees his son coming because his son came to himself and he says, man, what am I doing out here in the pig pen, the hog pen? My father has bread enough and to spare. I'm just going to go home and I'm going to tell him, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as a hired servant. But the father would have none of that. When he saw him coming, he ran out to meet him. And before the son could ever say, make me a hired servant, he said, my son is home. Bring the best robe. Bring shoes for his feet. Bring, you know, kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. Amen? And that showed his mercy before the son ever even acknowledged his sin. And so we have those two pictures of God. And there's more in the Bible than that. But it says, as or like as a father, he's telling us these things. There are also two pictures about us coming to God, our Father. One is the throne of grace. And we can go to that throne of grace and obtain help in time of need. He says, you can come anytime you want. That's a blessing. Amen? I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. We wandered far away from God. Now we're coming home. Anytime you want to come to that throne of grace, you find grace to help in time of need. It's not that you have to get rid of everything in your life in the past. You just come to the throne of grace and wanting God's grace on your life. Then there's the mercy seat. It talks about in the Old Testament tabernacle. It says, I will meet you there at the mercy seat. I think that is so precious where we see God's mercy. And that's really important to understand because grace comes to those who need grace and mercy comes to those who need mercy. If you don't think you need mercy, you don't go to the mercy seat and you don't ask mercy of God. Psalm 85 and verse 10, the Bible says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Righteousness and peace. Mercy and truth. I tell you the truth. Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Speak the truth in love. What is the truth? It's the truth. All men are sinners, right? And God came to save man from his sin. He came to save all of mankind from his sin. And he says you can see that meeting on the cross. And so the cross is a wonderful place for us to go. We don't run from it. We run to it. Hosea chapter 11 and verse 4, God says, I drew them with bands of love. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And what did Jesus do when he came to this world? He died on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin. That's a blessing. And with that, he draws us. There's some verses in the book of John, John 12:32. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. I will draw them to me. And the next verse says, this he said, signifying that it was the cross that he was going to go to. I'm going to be lifted up. And when he is, he would draw men. You know, love is a powerful thing. Amen. Mercy and grace is so, so powerful. And judgment and mercy when they meet, truth and mercy when they meet, mercy always wins. Love always wins. It's such an amazing thing, and we'll see that as we get into the scripture. But let me get something out of the way here, and then we'll get back to the positive. This is positive too. Psalm 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And so our heavenly Father meets the need for us. If our earthly father or our earthly mother did not meet our need or weren't helpful or even hindered our life in some way, God will take us up. God will make up the difference. And so many people, when things go wrong in this life, they blame that on the Heavenly Father. No, the Heavenly Father is always there. He's always there to help us. His mercy is always there. His grace was always there. Proverbs 22:6. I want to talk to you today about what a good father is. Amen? I'm a good father. And Father, here's a good father. I know you. You're good fathers. We're not perfect. And amen? And if we didn't know that, somebody in our family would tell us that. Amen? But I want to show you what a good father is. Proverbs 22:6. This is in God's eyes. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. We are to train our children. And when they're old, they won't depart from the training. They may not live it all out, but it's in their mind and it's in their heart. If it wasn't so, then you could train a child and they would never do anything wrong. Okay, don't ever lie. I'm training you, don't ever lie. And they would never lie the rest of their life. Wouldn't that be something? So it's not that they depart from the training, it's in their head. It's a good thing to teach people the Bible because that sticks with them. Psalm 44:1. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in times of old. Fathers talk about what God has done for the family, for them in the past. Amen? They've experienced some miracles of God. Can you imagine David talking to his children about what God did in his life? Just read the book of Psalms. I mean, he's over and over reminding, remembering, bringing back to tell somebody what God did for him. And I think that's important. So we've had things that have happened to us. How about our salvation? We tell our children how we received Christ as our Savior. I think that's important that they know our testimony. Amen? And I have given my testimony. Everybody, I think, in our family knows that. I was home alone on a Saturday, and I knelt by my purple velour couch all by myself, and I asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins and give me a home in heaven. I elaborate on that. I'm not going to now, because if you've never heard that story, most people in the church have heard it too many times. But I think it's good to talk about what God did for us in the past. Amen? What about Jacob? What about Joseph? What about Daniel? And when they talked about what glorious miracles God did for them in the past, I think that is something that we're supposed to do. 1 Timothy 5:8, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So we're to provide for our home. We're to provide the needs of the home. We're instructed to teach, to pray, to provide for, to be an example, and to speak of the things of the Lord. And we can do all of that, and all those things are good, but there's a missing element many times. And in our text, it's talking about this father, but it's connecting the father with pity, and it's connecting the father with mercy. It's connecting the father with grace and kindness. Amen? You can train your child to have a good education, to get a good job, to do this, to have character, even to do all the right things. Listen, you go to church and do all of that, but there's a missing element many times, and that's the spiritual element of mercy. The Spirit bears witness. And so I want to look at that just briefly today. That's my introduction, and we'll get into the message, but I want to really focus on this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible says this is the love chapter. This is charity. Charity is love in action. And I could give all my money to feed the poor, but if I don't have charity, it profits me nothing. And he describes what we ought to do. I could give my body to be burnt, but if I don't have charity, it's a wasted sacrifice. He says, because the main thing is charity. The main thing is love. God is love. Not God loves, although he does love, but that is his essence. He is love. Love your neighbor. Love your love your enemy. Love it. Love the world. Amen? And so that's powerful in a home where that love is established, because it's just a great, great thing. And we have in our text in Psalm 103, like as a father pitieth his children. I want to take that word just for a minute too. In Scripture, the word pity usually includes compassion accompanied by some act of charity or benevolence. That's a blessing. He knoweth our frame. He knoweth that we're but dust. When's the last time you sinned? Oh, it had to be about 12 years ago. No, we're sinners saved by grace. Amen? And the transgression of the law is sin. And the omission of the law is sin. And so we sin, but we ask for forgiveness. And God always forgives us. He shows his mercy on us. Matthew Henry wrote this, the Father pities his children that are weak in knowledge and teaches them. He pities them when they're froward or ungovernable and bears with them. They call it, what, the terrible twos? I think they call it the terrible twos. But you have hope, because the terrible twos are over at age 25. Amen? So just keep looking for age 25. But he says he bears with them. He pities them when they're sick and comforts them. He pities them when they are fallen and helps them to rise. He pities them when they have offended and upon their submission forgives them. He pities them when they're wronged and rights them. Thus the Lord pities those that fear him. See why he pities. He considers the frailty of our bodies and the folly of our souls. How little we can do and how little we can bear. All in all which his compassion appears. He understands who we are. You know, a lot of times we just try to hide who we are. You know, act like we got it all together. And we don't have it all together. Mercy only comes to the offender. Otherwise, it's not mercy. Mercy is shown because God is not going to judge. He is going to forgive. So when we come to him and we say, God, I'm guilty, please forgive me, he forgives. He shows us his mercy. But mercy only is for the offender. Amen? He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Because the righteous, what is it? In John chapter 9, he said to the Pharisees, he says, if you were blind, you could see. But because you say, we see, then you're going to remain blind. And he came. He came to save us. Amen? But who did he come to save? I came into the world to save sinners. Sinners. So all a person has to do to receive the mercy of God is confess their sin. Yes, turn from it, but confess it, and God will show mercy. Isn't that a blessing? And that's the missing element many, many times. In our text, the Lord is merciful, plenteous in mercy. So great is his mercy. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And he says, like as a father. There's a lot of books about being a good father, or, you know, being manly and teaching your boys to be manly and your girls to be feminine and all of that kind of stuff. But there's a missing element, and God fills that in. Now, in even a lost home, when love rules, that's a blessing in that home. Amen? Because that knits people together. It knits their hearts together. But this thing about mercy is so, so powerful. It implies benevolence, tenderness, mildness, pity or compassion, clemency, and it's always exercised towards the offenders, like as a father. In Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Boy, boy, that is a problem. Come on in. Always time for visitors. This is a surprise. This is my daughter. And she is my favorite daughter. And this is my granddaughter, and this is my favorite granddaughter. They're my only daughter and granddaughter, but I am glad they're here. Are you guys ready to sing? Okay. Good to see you. What a surprise. Amen. Thank you. Well, let's be dismissed in prayer, and we'll just go eat cupcakes. Amen. Now. Anyway, back to mercy. And when that mercy is so evident, it's a blessing to everybody. I've lost my place here. I'm just surprised at what's going on. But anyway, if you have a Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We are to bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The nurture is to promote growth, to nourish. That's what it means. Admonition is a mild teaching or rebuke to get somebody on the right path. But look at this clear scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Bible says, verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them, the words, diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That just about covers it. Amen? I mean, that's everywhere, everything you're doing, you're manifesting, teaching, or living the Word of God. And that's something that God wants us to do. Malachi 4:6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers. Boy, that's perfect. It's something when the child loves the father, but the father doesn't love the child. Or it's still good for the child, amen? But it goes the other way too. Here's the father loves the child, but the child doesn't love the father. But God says, I will turn your hearts toward each other. He's talking about that connection, amen, that family connection. I love my daughter. I love my granddaughter. And where am I? I don't even know what I'm talking about now. But I'm glad to see you. Amen? And this is being recorded, isn't it? Okay. Well, amen. The father and his children, the children and the father. Back to our text. Merciful, gracious, slow to anger. That's a good one, slow to anger. Some people are volcanoes waiting to go off. Amen? And they're unapproachable. And I want you to see this. I think it's so important when maturity, spiritual maturity is there, we want to love each other. We want to show mercy to each other. We want the closeness of God. Amen? And there's nothing like that. I said a minute ago, there is nothing like family. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. He that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Like as a father. This is all God's instruction to us, like as a father. The charity chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, we mentioned that. It lists a bunch of things that we ought to be, but there's one thing in particular. In verse 5, it says, is not easily provoked. So somebody is trying to show love, they are not easily provoked. It takes a lot, amen? And you can be provoked. Moses was the meekest man in the world, and he was provoked. But not easily provoked. You come to James chapter 3, the wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's sown in peace of them that make peace. So you have two principles here. Not easily provoked, but easy to be entreated. There ought to be a communication between a father and his children where they can communicate without anger, without bitterness, without regret, without remorse. It's something stronger than that. Mercy, grace, love brings that together. And they're able to deal with anything. Amen? What a blessing that is. Peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. There we are again, full of mercy. In Proverbs 22, the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man, with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways, and you get a snare unto your soul. In a home where there's anger, people learn that. Children learn it. Grandchildren learn it. Great-grandchildren can learn it. And it goes on for generation and generation. And so, learn not his ways. God wants us to learn love. And so, the Bible says that the Lord teaches us to love. And he says, learn of me, and I'll teach you that. That's a great thing. Amen? Have you ever tried to have a good conversation with an angry person? A good conversation. You can have a conversation, but sometimes it's one-sided. That's where the anger's coming out. Amen? Nobody here has probably ever done that. You've heard about it or read about it maybe somewhere. But if we bite and devour one another, take heed that we be not consumed one of another. And nothing ever gets settled like that. It's like an immovable object and an irresistible force. Nothing happens. But when there's love there, easy to be entreated, approachable. I will consider that. That's a blessing. Amen? When you can talk to somebody and the voices don't raise, you got a good conversation. Amen? But if you're sitting there going, I love you. You know, that doesn't work too good either. Amen? In 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Spiritual maturity. And that's all about love in action. It's all about that connection. Amen. Sometimes we see children raising children, and they don't understand the principles. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? These are spiritual gifts. It's the riches of his grace. It's his mercy that's always there, abundant mercy. It's kindness, amen? It's comfort. The Bible talks about the comfort of the Scriptures. The Bible says if we come to him, he will bless us, he will help us, he will strengthen us. All of the blessings that God gives us, amen? If we just come to the Lord. As fathers, and I do have my daughter here, so I've got to tell the truth here. And my granddaughter, I guess you guys too. I guess God's here, amen, so I have to tell the truth. But we do the best we can. And sometimes the best we can is not enough, not good enough. And for that, we say we're sorry. Any father, any mother, I don't want to bring anybody else into this. But we do the best we can. And when we mature, we understand maybe what somebody else went through. And so we consider that and we have compassion on that because he knows that we're but flesh and like as a father. That's the comparison here. And so God is saying, I'm your heavenly Father and I understand who you are. I understand your brokenness. I understand all that you had in life, all that you went through. And what that has caused, and he's merciful because of that. Amen? I think that is such a blessing that we have that. Our Heavenly Father has never sinned. He has never done anything wrong. There was a song I used to sing. This was after my dad left us when we were kids. And I loved him so much. And it was a song about my dad. Now there is a man. He was everything strong. Oh, he can't do wrong. My dad, I've got it memorized. And I would sing that. I remember walking down a path singing that. My dad was gone. I loved him. And he just left us. I think I mentioned before about my stepfather. And I tried to love him, but he was so mean. And there's something in every person that wants that connection. They want that connection. Amen? And obviously, with Almighty God, we have that connection because He is perfect. I find no fault in Him. Amen? He is without sin. He is pure. He doeth all things well. There's nothing God ever did wrong. Amen? There's no blame ever to attack God. But when it comes to earthly people, boy, we can sure carry something along, can't we? And thank God that He always says, I know who you are. You're but flesh. It's okay. You can find mercy and love anytime you want it. I just love that about God. I love that about God. I love that about my wife. I can go to her anytime and say, the reason I've got 7 pairs of socks in the middle of the room is because I never put my socks away as a kid. And she says, oh, that's nice. Now go pick your socks up. You know? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. With God, it works. Okay, back to the text here. Take your Bibles. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This is a picture of our Heavenly Father as well as our earthly Father. And let's begin reading here in verse 5. I mean 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. This is verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. And what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? This is our Father, our Heavenly Father. And He chastens us, not to hurt us, but to guide us, to help us. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. That's not a curse word, that's a descriptive word. That's out of wedlock. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, the fathers of the flesh, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The reason God does that for us is He wants to guide us and help us. And an earthly father would want that, but he's so lacking. He's so lacking. And by the time we get it figured out, the kids are raised. Amen? Yeah, boy, I wish I could have been a grandfather, you know, a long time ago. No, it doesn't work like that. I mean, it's children raising children sometimes. And we get those principles messed up. But we have a great, great Heavenly Father. Children, obey your parents in the Lord in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. What a lesson. When the home is right and the home loves God, father, mother, and here's the children, and they are being taught and nurtured and loved, and mercy is shown and grace is shown. I mean, what a blessing. Amen? Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of arrows. And you just see that expanding. And then when that love is experienced there, that child is growing in the Lord. And it just perpetuates. It's just such a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a step toward maturity when you can honor your father and mother. In 3 John verse 4, the writer said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. The best gift you can give your Heavenly Father is to walk in truth. And the best gift you can give your earthly father is the same. There was a son who said this to his father. It's powerful. The love and patience you have shown me as I've grown have been your greatest gift. That's what the son said to the father again. The love and patience you have shown me as I've grown have been your greatest gift. That statement alone would be the greatest gift you could ever give your father. Wow. the kindness of the father, the appreciation of the child. Wow, what a blessing that is. Both knowing their faults and failures, we're but flesh. And to have the mind of Christ, we have mercy. God be merciful to me, a sinner. I'll close with this. That's out of the book of Luke. And there was two men that went up into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee. He said, man, I'm not like this guy. I do this right and this right. Look at all that I do. And there was another man that was a publican. He was a sinner, and he knew it. And he was standing afar off, and he would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but he bowed, and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Only when you confess that you're sin can you experience mercy. That's the only time. The Pharisee was, I do this right, this right, this right. Just went on his way. And that man did not go home justified, the Bible says. But the man who said, be merciful to me, a sinner, there was mercy. Amen? That's true in our salvation, and it's true in our life after our salvation. You can only accept Christ as your Savior when you need to be accepted in His mercy, because you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But after we're saved, amen, we have a wonderful Heavenly Father, and it changes the things we do. And we walk in His truth, and we have a wonderful relationship, the best that we can. Happy Father's Day.